Rita?
Yeah, I think we are 15 minutes behind, so I'm going to rush very quickly past the slide because it's very important that you really get the feedback of you on the guide. So rather than going slide by slide, I'm just going to highlight a few key topics. I think the aim of this slide is really help prepare understand the address taxonomy content. Don't worry about now with the slides, I'm just pitching it differently to make up time. So the aim of this guide is to help preparers understand the content of the address taxonomy. Yeah. Then when we prepare this guide, we really have to assume that preparers have a reasonable knowledge of the IFRS standards. We don't expect preparers to have a detailed knowledge of the IFRS, of XBRL, but they have to have a basic understanding of the IFRS standards. And we also said what we don't want to do in this guide. This guide is not a filing manual. This guide is not explaining how you can use software tools to track your financial statement. This guide is really focused on the content of the IFRS taxonomy and how you can use the content of the IFRS taxonomy. Now, Ladek, if you just move a few slides forward, I'll tell you to stop. Yeah, if you stop here. So when we looked at the structure of the guide, you really wanted to look at the structure of the guide as to how a preparer may look at the taxonomy and ask what kind of questions a preparer may have. So what we really said, okay, we have a getting started section where we have some basic questions on the IFRS taxonomy, as how is the IFRS taxonomy updated. Then we had a section on elements to really try to for prepare to help answer the questions, okay, how can I use the elements to tag my disclosures? We have done anything about saying, okay, understanding the accounting meaning of an element, because it's really, we really want to emphasize that really the main criteria you have to use when correctly tagging your IFRS disclosures is the accounting meaning of an element. And within the IFRS taxonomy, there's different metadata and other content that is that's available to help you understand what is the accounting meaning of an element. Then we had a section about the IFRS taxonomy structure and how you can help use the IFRS taxonomy structure to help you find the element. So it's really finding navigation, not accounting meaning. Within that section, we talk about presentation, we are talking about tables, we are talking about calculations, etc. Then if you go to the next slide, Fladek. Then we know that there are still many issues with correct reporting of negative values. So we had a separate section on how you can use the taxonomy content to know how to correctly report negative values. And then we also had to have a section about how the taxonomy interacts with farming system owners, because the kind of content that we put in the taxonomy or the kind of things we put in this guide may have, you need to really read it in conjunction with the filing system owners, filing rules, etc. Because we could say, for instance, okay, do not use, create a new taxonomy element if the label of the element, the disclosure you use is different from the label we have put in the IFRS taxonomy. It's really accounting meaning that's important, but there may be particular filing system owners who do not permit that. So we had to, often when we wrote this guide, we had to say if qualified or if permitted by a filing system owner. The other thing I want to stress, and you go to the next slide, Vladek, is really we want to have a single document to prepare. So it's possible, and it is the case that often there's an overlap between the content we have put in this guide and other guidance materials that are available on our website. We really want to say to prepare, if you're a preparer, this is a guide, and this is the thing that's of most interest to you. Then on the next steps, which is next slides, we also want to say, really, at this moment in time, really want comments from you on the general areas of content we have included in this guide. Is are we on the right track? We don't want like detailed comments from you at this moment in time, because we really we want to get it out in a quite quickly fashion. It's not perfect yet. We definitely really want editorial to have a review at it and see, look at the other ways to put this content in a more understandable way. So I really want to focus you today on, okay, have we covered the right content areas? And that moves us on to the question. So I think that was quickly
for Thank you. John.
Yeah. So what we really want to understand is, do, in your view, does this guide cover the right topics, or the particular general areas that we have not addressed? Are we too technical still? Do you think the structure is right? What are your views there?
Michael.
Thank you. I do applaud this effort, so I think it's fantastic. My two only comments or observations would be, would it be possible to consider in the plan of preparing this this preparer's guide, to consider, rather than putting it on paper, to consider a more interactive environment? I remember one of the great developments of the team was XIFRSs, which was a simple page but allowed to link between the standards and the taxonomy elements. And that was fantastic for browsing, for searching, for the users. So if there would be any possibility to use some form, maybe an open source e-learning system or something similar that could present this content in an interactive way, that would be probably a much better way for people to learn about these comments, and would allow to link components of the taxonomy, examples from the statements and so forth. And similarly, if that could go a bit further, one thing in the context of the ongoing projects would be, it would be a wonderful place to collect feedback about these practices, and such a system could enable collecting feedback from the users directly on the specific disclosure or specific examples or specific rules. So if that would be possible to be taken into account rather than a documentation paper form, I think it might be worth looking at.
Thank you very much for your suggestions, Michael. And this is definitely, I can't promise, but this is definitely something we would really like to review with our editorial team, and also with our education team, really. We couldn't do it at this stage because, first, our own time constraints, but also this editorial team was very busy on the publication insurance contract standard. But it's definitely something I will bring up, and we'll see what we can do there. No promises, though, at this time. Also regarding about collection of a more interactive way to collect feedback, this is a topic that we bring up later in the afternoon. Vladek will talk to you about some of the ideas he had there.
Okay, thanks, Michael. Michael, you have a question?
Yes, I appreciate very much that there is such a document. I think there's a real need for that. So it's really great that you went down this road. I think it was a very interesting and good document. I also appreciate a lot there is in there an explicit explanation that the taxonomy does not drive what has to be included in the financial statements, but only that it's a tool to transform it. Because I have heard this concern so many times in the last weeks by preparers. So it's really important to express that as often as possible, because this seems to be a real concern in the European market, at least. I just have one suggestion. You might probably want to consider also to give some descriptions regarding the block tagging and what should be considered in this area, because here I haven't found a lot.
Thanks, Mike. Got it.
Thank you. I think that this guide has been needed for a very long time. A few thoughts on that. In the absence of this guide, the implementers of local e-filing requirements in XBRL have had to create their own documents and substantive guidance. And I think it's given the lateness of the publication in relation to the IFRS taxonomy, it would be amiss not to mention the existence of those local documents and guidance, particularly as a change in the way in which you'd create disclosure in XBRL could create local data quality issues if a preparer were to follow this guidance rather than what was locally in situ. Not necessarily a substantial risk, and indeed harmony in the way in which disclosures created in XBRL would be seen as an advantage globally. It'll take time for those local guides and documents to be updated. In that regard, then, it's important that with where those guides exist, that there is, in fact, one-to-one discussions with the local standard setters or regulatory bodies in regards to what are the tangible differences and what may be the impact or the change timeline. You ask kind of specifically in your questions if there are common challenges or questions that the parents encounter. I think we touched on last time with regards to discussion of when local regulators or county standard setters re-underpin or actually accept or endorse the latest edition of the IFRS taxonomy. And related to that is a common question on behalf of preparers, which is, for example, how would I tag something under the insurance contracts IFRS against the 2016 taxonomy if it's not been locally accepted by the e-filing gateway, for example.
On the first piece there, who should drive the discussion? Should it be those that have developed the local guidance or the team here?
I think it's for the those that have developed the local guidance to drive the discussion, but they do need to be made aware of the existence of this draft.
Sorry, could I just ask a follow-up on that? Do you have a list of countries which have these local guidance that you could provide us with?
Certainly help with a brainstorm.
Yeah, and then secondly, you had a point there about the IFRS 17 tagging to the 2016 taxonomy. Can you just explain that point a little bit further?
That's a logical example in terms of doesn't currently apply at the moment. But the reality is, if we look at the adoption of IFRS taxonomies around the world, they often lag quite considerably by a number of years in relation to the latest adopted edition. So in the UK, for example, I believe they're running on a 2013 or 2014 edition of the IFRS taxonomy before they extended with their local regulatory extension. There have been, and indeed, many changes to applicable IFRS since then, and increasingly there are questions, particularly from entities in the financial services domain, around how they should be tagging against those taxonomies.
And do you think that's something that we ought to be addressing? Because isn't that really a problem for the regulators themselves, the fact that they're lagging behind on their taxonomies, rather than something that... Because what we're trying to do is to encourage people to use the most up-to-date taxonomy, which reflects the most up-to-date requirements.
Indeed, there were a number of actions that taken away last time, including one of them, which was to draft the new... so it was described earlier, the new policy that supports the IFRS taxonomy in terms of how it's used locally. But the challenge often faced in terms of the adoption of the IFRS taxonomy by local e-filing gateways and standard setters is the act of actually re-underpinning the IFRS taxonomy with their regulatory extension, which is often a very involved technical task that they may not either have time, budget, or inclination to undertake. Indeed, there are some challenges there that are very much a topic for Expo International as much as they are the ISB or the IFRS Foundation.
And I think there, Gary, I definitely agree with you, it would be very useful to have a list of these local guides and for the people who have published these local guides to really get in contact with us and highlight where potential areas of conflict could exist, because I'm not sure where they would exist. I think regarding the issue of some regulators having not immediately adopted the latest version of the IFRS taxonomy, I think this is not something, and how to handle this for prepare, I think this is very difficult to include that within our guide. That's why we really have said, look, this guide is really on focus for a preparer to understand the IFRS taxonomy content, but that this guide really should be read in conjunction with any filing manual issued by a regulator, and of course also with the guidelines which are applicable to a particular tool that is a preparer may be using, because we may talk about reference back to the IFRS standards, but if a particular tool does not allow a preparer to easily reference back to the IFRS standards, this is not something we can handle within this guide. But thank you very much for your comments.
Indeed, and I recognise that kind of line in the sand there, recognising that there will always be early adoption of standards which haven't yet formed part of the annual release of the IFRS taxonomy.
Good, thanks, Scott. Lou?
regarding the question of does the guide handle the
Regarding the question of whether the guide handles the right topics, one topic that caused a lot of conflict and just pain for filers that isn't extensively handled is extensions, so entity-specific disclosures. There's a couple paragraphs in there about it, which are good, but not a lot. And it's one of those areas that I know, you know, what else should we put in there? But then you start getting into the different regulators because some allow this kind of extension or that or anchor it this way or... I know when someone starts tagging, they're going to go, oh, extensions, I'll go to the guide, and they're not going to see much written there about extensions. So to the extent anything more can be added.
I think that's a really good point, because we have put it in different places. Maybe some, it probably won't be a huge section, because it's going to depend, of course, what the
depends on the regulator
is doing. Yeah. But to have a little bit more emphasis, okay, what are entity-specific disclosure, what potential sway may exist, and how they are being addressed and why they could exist is definitely something I think is a very good idea, and I will give that some thought. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
So as I mentioned in a question to the ESMA, selecting to approve a target is always a big problem on the company side. So I think the idea to providing that kind of guide is great and is most important thing. But the point is, still accounting meaning is big question. So that even though the auditor, being auditor and preparer, when company preparing financial statement, or the naming on each accounting items, sometimes they make an argument to the how each accounting item has meaning. So that this guideline maybe must explain about accounting meaning of each element. So this process, I hope that you can discuss in the maybe ISB or maybe other people. This part is, maybe this guideline must be so important, but this explanation about accounting meaning of elements must be very difficult. So it must be a very long journey and difficult process, but I want you to try.
Yeah. And I think, again, for the accounting meaning, we really would say, look, the main content that exists within the taxonomy is a reference back to the IFRS standards, because it's really the IFRS standards. The first step that PAIR will do is, okay, how will now I apply these IFRS standards in the disclosures that I'm going to give? Now, once the PAIR has made that decision process and has presented and reported then their disclosures, they will know in accordance with which standards they have done that. Now, if then at the other hand, they need to tag this information now, and if you really don't say, okay, this element was added to the IFRS taxonomy because of this particular requirement or requirement or guidance within the standards, I think that you really close the gap and close the circle. And I think that is the best thing what we can do.
Do you want to add to that? Or? Yeah. Okay. So, Tony, quick. Is it worth to actually bring the analyst perspective to this document to teach the preparers how the analysts look at this data when tagged?
Okay. Good. No immediate answer, because we had thought already, and this is further down the line, we had thought, okay, we have now a guide for the preparers to understand the IFRS taxonomy content and what they need to do to track their information accurately. In our strategic plan, we had also thought, look, we probably there may be a guide in the future where this is more geared to the investors and users of information to say, okay, how can you now use the IFRS taxonomy to quickly help you in the process you do?
I was just referring more to actually trying to bridge it, because we typically actually distinguish between those two audiences and we sell two different things to those two audiences, whereas I think it might be worth to explain to the preparers that these choices that they make actually affect the ability to analyze on the other side. So it's sort of like bridging, putting a little bit of a different perspective to them.
No, it's a good idea, and I don't have the immediate answer, but it's maybe something short as to how investors can benefit of accurately tagged information, I think definitely it won't, again, it won't be a huge section, but it could be something in the getting started section.
I could see actually, Rita, it's getting incorporated into the guide throughout. So whenever we're talking about you making these sorts of choices, you link that back to how investors are going to be consuming the information. I think it would be quite a good idea to put into context why the decisions are actually important.
It's a good idea. Thank you. We will look at it as well. Thank you, Michael.
I just wanted to reinforce that. One of the biggest challenges we have is helping preparers understand the user perspective when they're doing their tagging and appreciating how the machine-readable format is different from their traditional paper-based format. And the more they appreciate that, the better job they do. Sometimes they get too creative. But at least they're thinking about it.
Okay. Thanks, everyone. So we're at a point to take a short break in the session.
I think there was Ashok
had some. Sorry, did I miss you?
No, I was just waiting for your question 2 and 3.
Okay, sorry. If you just go quickly on the next slide. Yeah. Okay. I think Ashok had some comments on that. Yeah.
So first of all, it's excellent guide. I spent yesterday, watching cricket, 168 paragraphs, nicely prepared. Consider two things, and this is the suggestions. Number one would be, because as soon as people see taxonomy, anything to do with the taxonomy, they think it is really designed a particular regulatory authority. So somewhere in this particular guide, emphasize again that it has nothing to do with regulatory thing at all. It's a regulatory is a very specific. For example, SEC follow Edgar filing manual. ISMA will prepare their own kind of whatever the specific thing is. And a second thing, I think it would be really helpful for novice or the preparer is to include like a flowchart or decision tree, how the text should be kind of selected in a more principled way rather than more, the really granular level. That would be really helpful. So people get confused, but the first time people who are exposed to XBRL, that, this tag is in a note section, I cannot select that tag, for an example. So I think some sort of pictorial guide that would be really helpful, like in flowchart kind of a thing.
Okay, thank you. And that's what I definitely hope that our deep editorial review would do, so they really think, okay, can we use more visiogram, illustrations, more examples to make sure that people who really know very little about taxonomy and XBRL the content is still being provided in an easy to understand way.
But excellent work. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you, Ashok. Mm-hmm.